Generations Broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host with you today, coming to you from my basement out here in the eastern plains of Colorado, a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization.
You really think so? think you're in a safe distance? You're out of the blast zone? Is that what it is?
Bill, it's metaphoric. If you're in Christ, you're a safe distance from all destruction.
You've got to agree with me on that, right? I do, yeah.
You're right. This idea that you place yourself in a geographic location where you're immune from the attacks of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Get out of here. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, you are safe from these things as long as you're in Christ.
Yeah.
That's right. But what in the world is going on with the U.S. Supreme Court, Bill? I thought we had a Republican majority again. We had a Republican majority in 1973.
Yeah.
Well, that didn't do us any good, did it? No. Apparently, it doesn't do us very good to have a Republican majority on the U.S. Supreme Court. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to defend Christian businesses, even in the Jack Phillips case. Although Jack Phillips survived two attacks.
Yeah. I mean, he did well. He weathered that. I realized near the end of that ordeal through which he went that God had chosen him specifically, that there was nobody else who could have navigated with such grace, with such humility as did Jack Phillips. Anybody else would have eventually blown it during that 5 years where he was attacked relentlessly and he was goaded and he was, you know, they threatened him with everything possible, and from death to censorship to legal action, but he did not get rattled.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of the most gentle,
mm-hmm.
one of the most humble
mm-hmm.
Christians you will meet.
Mm-hmm.
And you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Because he's a weak Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Because he depends on the strength of the Lord.
Amen.
I have become more and more concerned about this use of, boy, that guy's a strong Christian.
Yeah.
Boy, he's strong in his faith. No.
Strong in the Lord and the power of his might.
Yeah, we are weak.
Mm-hmm.
And we who are weak and know that we're weak, we fall upon the cross. We fall upon the grace of Jesus. And that's what I think Jack did. I think he survived that because he knew he needed the Lord to get him through this.
And also,
God blessed, and he was honored, and he was lifted up, and yet they attacked him again.
Mm-hmm.
So two attacks, he survived both of them, and God has been glorified through what Jack has done. I can't say enough good things about Jack Phillips.
And I want to say that your particular experiment that you brought was important in the Supreme Court case as well as the recent case that was argued in the Colorado courts. So your test case in which you went into the leftist bakeries and challenged them to bake a cake with Bible verses or biblical content on the verses, you were rebuffed. You took that to the same agency that jumped on Jack Phillips, and they would not sustain your case, but they sustained the case against him. So that was referred to by both the Supreme Court of the United States and the Colorado case courts in the case that was brought against Jack Phillips the second time. And so, you know, I think you deserve some gratitude, but that was a test of your faith, too. I remember meeting with you when you set out to do that, and you weren't exactly the most courageous man in the world at that point.
You know why I did it? Because I was afraid I'd be found out for the coward that I am. You know, I tell students, you know, stand for your faith. And then when it came to my door, I go, oh, I have to do something. Otherwise, I'll be found out for the coward that I am because I'm a weak Christian.
Amen.
You know what? I think we need to take a lesson from what happened to Jack. And that is that the other side does not give up. They are relentless in pursuing those who are righteous to bring them down. And we as Christians, when Jack won the Supreme Court case, we dusted our hands. We said, "Ah, that's that. We can rest now." And the answer is no.
No, no.
In fact, I think we need to double down. Yeah. Here's what I think Christians ought to do. Christians all over the state of Colorado, all over the United States, Christians ought to go into bakeries, into the big box bakeries, like Target's, for example, who have the gender neutral bathrooms. Go into the super Targets and request cakes that say, and hey, I want this on these cakes. I want one cake that says, or a cake in the shape of a Bible, or just a cake, and I want on the cake, LGBTQ is slavery. And also, Jesus came to set the captives free. Isaiah 61:1. I believe that's the reference.
Yeah.
That's what needs to happen. And then when they don't bake the cake, when they refuse to bake the cake, when they refuse to decorate it with that, they file a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission or whatever civil rights commission you have in your state, claiming discrimination based on your creed. We need to flood the Department of Regulatory Agencies with complaints by Christians to expose the hypocrisy, to bring this agency to its knees, to bring it back in line with the state constitution, to bring it back in line with the U.S. Constitution, to stand for liberty. That's what this is about. That's what Jack Phillips stood for, was liberty for all, not liberty for some. If you don't have liberty for all, you have liberty for none.
Because the end goal is to allow for bakeries to make those decisions for themselves. What you're suggesting is a full court press when it comes to justice in the civil magistrate. Pursue the kingdom of God and his righteousness and do so with all that is in you. Friends, we're going to talk more about the Supreme Court. What in the world is the Supreme Court doing? They did not defend Christian businesses, even in the Jack Phillips case. The U.S. Supreme Court has refused to allow for states' rights even when it comes to defunding Planned Parenthood, and they have supported the largest child-killing business in America. The U.S. Supreme Court put a nail in the coffin of Christian businesses again in this Hawaii bed and breakfast case. And we're going to talk about that next on the Generous Enterprise.
It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith. And it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case, a historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent, the American Pilgrims, and the Battle for King's Mountain? How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org.
And we're back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. The U.S. Supreme Court has been a disappointment. The U.S. Supreme Court, even with the Trump appointees, has been a gross disappointment for Christians. Indeed, they did not do the right thing. They didn't stand up in the case of the Jack Phillips case, except to push it back to the Civil Rights Commission to treat him nicer the next time they slap him with a fee or a fine.
Yeah, that's basically all they did. Now, it was a great victory
for Jack Phillips.
And it set the opposition on their heels for about 5 years. They thought this was going to be a slam dunk, and it rocked them. And so we need to do a full court press. In fact, if you're interested in how to do that, contact me. I'll teach you how to walk through the process and how to win. Not just how to walk through the process, but how to win. We are not to participate in deeds of evil, but rather to expose them to the light of Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus call us? He said, you are the light of the world. Shine. It's time to shine.
Well, the U.S. Supreme Court has put a nail in the coffin to Christian businesses like this Hawaii bed and breakfast situation. They took the side of the homosexuals and against private property rights for this bed and breakfast. What happened was Phyllis Young, she owns and operates this three-bedroom Aloha bed and breakfast in Honolulu, and she was accused of breaking the state's anti-discrimination law when she refused to provide hospitality to homosexuals engaged in unnatural affections. The Christian woman, that is Phyllis, she lost her case at the Hawaiian Intermediate Court of Appeals last year. That's in 2018. The Supreme Court is letting the lower court decision stand, is what's happening. And friends, for what it's worth, we checked out her websites and we found that Phyllis's Yelp account has been review bombed by the homosexual troll brigade out there. But also, here's one more thing that's happening. The House Democrats have reintroduced their Equality Act last week. The bill would add sexual orientation, gender identity to the protected classes under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. So these are the things that are happening. That's right. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous are both alike an abomination to the Lord. The Supreme Court is an abomination to the Lord in these cases, in these recent cases. The Supreme Court has demonstrated themselves to be an abomination to the Lord. Why? Because they justify the wicked and they condemn the righteous.
Yeah.
Phyllis should not be condemned.
No.
You agree with me?
She has the right to
do
with
the lesbians.
Yeah, she has the right to do with her property whatever she wishes. It is not up to the state to impose a political agenda on her business.
Absolutely.
Now people have review bombed her. They have called her names. They've threatened her, I'm sure. And you said during the break that you kind of felt sorry for her. And you know what? I'm gonna quote what Jesus said about this.
Mm.
Blessed are you when you're persecuted.
Yeah.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And I know that Jack and Phyllis and others like them who have stood their ground are going, Lord, please don't bless me so much. But you're blessed. Phyllis is blessed. She stood for righteousness, and God will honor her.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we pray that she will be honored.
Mm.
And we pray that she will continue to stand firm.
Well, friends, according to the laws of the state of Hawaii and the Supreme Court of the United States' position on these things, as well as this Equality Act, homosexuals are to have equal access to public accommodations and material goods. Okay, that's what the Equality Act wants to bring about. That's what these liberal states are doing with the backup of the Supreme Court of the United States behind them. Now, the question is this. Some people say, well, what's wrong with that? But equating homosexuality, bestiality, incest, to an amoral feature like skin color, ethnic background, is pretty arbitrary. Okay? Do we have to let a family that's touting its incestuous habits continue to rent our trailer out in the back 40 by law because that's their sexual preference? Do especially if they drag all of that out in front of society, including the landlord and the entire neighborhood? Again,
this
these
is behavior.
Yeah, it's a sexual behavior. It's a moral behavior equated to such amoral features as skin color and ethnic backgrounds. So there is. My point is, there's a difference between 1964 law and the attempts on the part of a Democratic Congress to allow for civil rights or a bill that adds sexual orientation and gender identity to the Civil Rights Act of 1964.
Yeah, because those are not immutable characteristics. Those
right.
are behaviors. They're not immutable characteristics such as skin color or sex.
Now, I happen to believe that it's outrageously egregious that the Supreme Court of the United States and all of these civil rights commissions and everybody else is violating the right of private property ownership to tell everybody what they can do with their public accommodations and their business interactions. I still believe it's a terrible, egregious violation of a right for a person to control his own private property. However, to equate homosexuality and bestiality with skin color seems to me to be insane. I mean, insane. Somebody isn't thinking rationally here. Do we have to let a family that's touting, publicly touting its incestuous habits, continue to rent the trailer on our back 40?
People will say, well, you're equating homosexuality with incest.
It's a sexual preference.
It's a sexual preference. See, I think Phyllis Young made a mistake in asking for a religious exemption. And this is a matter of contract law. The contract law is very basic to the laws of our land. And contract law says that you have to have a willing provider and a willing purchaser. But what's happened now is the state's coming in and saying, no, you, Phyllis Young, will enter into this contract whether you want to or not. That is no longer a contract. That's called coercion.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get really blunt about it, that's called slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Now Phyllis Young is a slave to the state.
Mm-hmm.
And that's against the 13th Amendment. 14th Amendment? Which one? 14th.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, that's involuntary servitude, and that's wrong. That's where the argument should have gone, because we have lost the religious liberty issue a long time ago.
Well,
we don't have religious freedom.
Whatever the case is, we need to fight for every right we can get.
Yeah.
But the Supreme Court of the United States and our public institutions seem to be bound and determined to violate God's law in the most egregious ways and to embrace the most egregious abominations available to man. You know, I believe this is coming, Bill. I don't see anything stopping the juggernaut of the sexual orientation crowd insisting on persecuting God's people. I can't see this stopping anytime too soon. The U.S. Supreme Court just doesn't seem to have the guts or the faith or the principle to stand against this kind of stuff. The appreciation for homosexuality, their hatred for God, for Christians, it's intense. In other words, they lack the fear of God, and the palpable fear of the cultural zeitgeist is the cause of all of this. They're fearing it. They fear the Gramscian zeitgeist that is blowing hard against them. They fear the cultural spirit.
And God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, discipline, and a sound mind. You want to see where this is going? In Portland, Oregon, there are posters up on telephone poles with the rainbow colors. And it shows in a shadow, okay? It shows a silhouette of a man with a heart inside the silhouette, holding a child's hand, and the child has a heart inside of him.
And the child looks like maybe a two-year-old.
Yeah, maybe a two-year-old. And butterflies are flying around. And it underneath it says, because love is love. And the top says, pedophiles are people too.
Mm-hmm.
This is called MAPS. It's a movement called MAPS. Minor Attracted Person. These are adults who are attracted to minor children sexually, so these are pedophiles.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is no MAPS, non-offending minor attracted person.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this going on now, mm-hmm. which is beyond the pale for most people.
But then
we thought 30 years ago that homosexuality was beyond the pale for most people, but it's not.
Of course the Supreme Court of the United States, appointed by Republicans, would embrace pedophilia. Of course they would. You say, why would they? Because they fear the zeitgeist. Because they fear the principalities and powers that seem to have a tremendous amount of force in setting the cultural system towards approving of every sexual perversion you can imagine, including pedophilia. So this is where we're heading, friends. This is exactly where we're headed. You know it's where we're headed. Unless Christians engage, unless God, by his common grace, salvages our societies. But there's nothing to fear here for us. I know that these Republican political leaders are deathly afraid of offending the cultural zeitgeist when it comes to sexual orientation, feminism, the female draft, and all the rest. They're deathly afraid of it. They are so afraid. They are so fearful. They are quaking in fear. They're hiding under their couches in the back room behind the Supreme Court chambers. You know they're hiding there. They are so afraid of this Gramscian juggernaut, this neo-Marxist control over society, bound and determined to destroy sexuality and gender. Okay, but for us, there's nothing to fear. Amen?
Amen. We walk by faith, not by sight.
Absolutely.
When you look around, you can get overwhelmed by the zeitgeist. You can get overwhelmed by the culture.
Yeah.
But you look beyond that.
It's that Wizard of Oz.
You know what it is?
Behind the screen.
It's Numbers 13 and 14. Caleb and Joshua. Caleb said,
"We are well able to take this city."
Yeah. Yeah. Caleb saw the giants in the land.
Yeah.
But he said, he looked beyond the giants. He saw that the angel of the Lord was wielding the sword of truth, ready to do battle for him. And he called the people. He said, "Do not fear. Do not fear the people of the land, for they shall be our prey. Their protection has been removed from them. Only do not fear them."
Bill, I have to say, I'm just sick and tired of the palpable fear that so represents modern evangelicals today.
Oh.
It's just outrageous.
Yeah, when you say palpable, you can cut it with a knife. You bring up any topic that is controversial, and they cringe. They cower.
I know. God, deliver us from the spirit of fear and give us a spirit of love and power and a sound mind. And friends, there's nothing to fear in any of this. There's nothing to fear, even if this persecution comes. And it has come. Evidently, Phyllis will be persecuted by the direction of the Supreme Court of the United States. Now, this is not a super severe persecution even. I mean, come on, guys. We have not resisted unto blood striving against sin here. You know, get it into perspective here. Hebrews 12, you've not resisted unto blood striving against sin. Now look at Jesus.
She hadn't been sawn in two.
No, she hasn't been sawn in two yet.
Yet. She's not living in a cave.
This isn't quite the Chinese persecution, friends. Don't overstate the case here. I think sometimes we tend to. Now, we want to be sure we hold the Supreme Court and others to God's standard of justice. But at the same time, friends, come on, this isn't much to fear. However, a little wisdom is important here, guys. Christian businesses have to be careful in hiring, for example. Homosexuals will work their way into the company and then evangelize their homosexuality in the workplace. This kind of thing happens all the time. For some reason, homosexuals are encouraged to evangelize their lifestyle. And I'm not sure why, but they do. Serial killers, pornography addicts, liars, other sinners don't always advertise their specific sins or wear them on their sleeves. Okay, but once they've advertised their sin, which turns out to be a politically correct sin, it's hard to fire them, even from a Christian school or college. So these are the sorts of things you have to be paying attention to. So I think this would probably encourage Christian companies, to avail themselves more to contract labor. Does that make sense? It comes back to some of the things you were saying earlier.
Right.
We would encourage family businesses where there are family integrated businesses operating. They trust each other. They know each other. And they're not hiring unknowns into the business. Meaning this may encourage a little more decentralization of the business. This may encourage more contract labor for the business, which puts things a little bit more in the arena of anonymous hiring, where what you're getting in the quid pro quo service and product exchange is a less of an opportunity for you to have to approve of a certain lifestyle. Christians also may have to stay out of certain businesses or sell products in a more anonymous fashion. For some reason, homosexuals like to drag Christians into their homosexual weddings and orgies, where Christians are forced to cater the food and provide hospitality for their orgies and that sort of thing.
And you know why? Because they're entering into contracts, because 30% of weddings, planned weddings, fall through. And so if you're a wedding provider, like either a baker for cakes or a photographer or perhaps, you know, a wedding provider or planner, you have to get a contract because you have limited number of dates available. And if that date falls through and you don't get paid, you can't easily replace mm-hmm. an event like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the homosexuals targeted
yeah.
wedding providers,
that's
photographers.
Right. And the intent,
florists.
Of course, in most cases, if not all cases, the intent is to persecute Christians.
Right.
Because that's what the wicked do. Just, you know, read what Jesus says in John 17. He says, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. This is what the wicked do. This is what the world does to Christians. They persecute Christians. So Christians may have to choose businesses or sell products where the relationship with the buyer and seller remains more anonymous. That is, Christians may have to stay out of the rental business, the bed and breakfast business. In other words, stick to car washes. Stay away from plastic surgery. Stick to car rentals. Stay away from bed and breakfasts. Stick to plumbing and electrical work. Stay away from wedding photography. Now, if you do go with wedding photography, create an anonymous application form which allows you to vet the clients before you meet them, but require them to send a photo with their application. So these are some of the ideas. Now, again, what we're saying is Christians are going to have to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Another option, of course, is to turn your interactions into major gospel evangelizing opportunities and be very open about calling sinners to repentance and faith. So that's the other thing, is don't just hide under the table.
Right.
Use the opportunities in the world to evangelize the world. So if more of you is rubbing off on them than them is rubbing off on you in this relationship, then you're not really there to support their orgy. You're there to convert them.
For example, you know, I heard of one wedding event provider that said, okay, you know, if you want to use our particular space for your wedding, just know that we donate 10% of the proceeds to a pro-life organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that will send a lot of people away who
right.
want to come and cause trouble because they don't want their money going there. People vote with their dollars.
Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Yes, Christians are increasingly persecuted when they get in the way of what's going on in the culture. The divorce culture, the fornication culture, the pornography culture has produced these fruits. And that's something to remember. A heterosexual generation destroyed the family in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. Just face it. All that divorce, all that fornication, all that pornography eventually undermined the family and created what we have today. The next generation was homosexual, and those who had destroyed the family felt duty-bound to allow for homosexuality, which is the fallout of a destroyed social system. And then institutions feel the need to protect and provide for the complete accommodation of homosexuality. And it's only a pretense that everything's okay. This is really the utter destruction of an entire society. But they pretend like it's not. But Christians, of course, will be persecuted if they get in the way of that and try to salvage something for their families, schools, and communities. So that's the way it's working. That's the way this whole thing is playing out. It's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:26. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only did they do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now again, friends, the big pretense is that everything is okay, but it's not. The idea that is being conveyed by the Supreme Court of the United States and the encouragement of the Supreme Court of the United States to the states to persecute Christians is a message to the nation, a message to the world that the destruction of human society, this destruction that has been brought about by all of this sexual perversion is everything's okay, everything's okay, everything's okay. Things are very, very, very bad. They're not very, very, very good. And I'll never forget the comment made by Philip Yancey's friend, Mel White. You remember Philip Yancey's friend? He speaks of Mel White approvingly in many contexts. Yeah. But Mel White is a good friend of Philip Yancey. He's a famous, quote-unquote, Christian homosexual. And Mel White was standing up protesting at Focus on the Family some 15, 20 years ago when it was fashionable to protest against Christian ministries. And Mel White was quoted as saying this to the Colorado Springs Gazette some 15 years ago as they were protesting the Focus on the Family stance against homosexual behavior. Mel White said, "These people think there's something terribly wrong with us that needs to be fixed." And when I read that, I thought to myself,
yeah,
yes,
exactly.
Exactly.
It's called sin.
Exactly. And this is the thing that modern evangelicals, even Philip Yancey, have a hard time receiving. This is the kind of thing natural man doesn't receive. That there is something very wrong with us that needs to be fixed. To the point that the Son of God had to leave his place in heaven, be born in a stable, suffer, bleed a torturous, torturous death, and die on that cross for us. And then rise again the third day in order that, friends, in order that this problem with us be taken care of, in order that our sins will be forgiven, we be cleansed, we be made new persons in Christ. And Paul could say, such were some of you. You see, there is something very bad with us. There's something very, very wrong with us that needs to be fixed. And that's the thing that you have to receive if you're going to receive God's salvation. It's a big salvation for a big problem. But if it's not a problem, then you're obviously a Pharisee and you don't need a solution. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Broadcast. Let me encourage you to a little book called Keep the Faith on Sexuality. It's an introduction to this issue of homosexuality and abortion and a few other things from a biblical perspective, drawing in from the wisdom of Christians in the future from previous ages. And so grab a copy of this little resource. Again, it's called Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.